So I want you to imagine something. You sit down at your computer. You open up your AI coding assistant, and you type six words. Build me a full stack app.
Yeah, I've done that. Like, more times than I want to admit.
Okay, what did you get back?
Relax, Next.js Tailwind, and probably Superbase for the database deployed on Vercel.
Every single time.
Every single time. And you never asked for any of those things specifically, right?
No, I just said build me an app. I didn't say build me a React app.
The AI just decided.
Right, so today's episode is about that decision. Who's actually making it? Why do you keep getting the same stack? And what happens when millions of developers all get sorted into the same house? Because yeah, we're going there.
Oh no, are we doing Harry Potter?
We're doing Harry Potter, we're doing Slay the Spire, and we're doing the Irish Potato Famine.
That is a wild lineup. Let's go.
Okay, so if you've ever played Slay the Spire, the roguelike deck builder, you know the most important moment in any run isn't the boss fight, it's the beginning, because you start with a starter deck.
Right, the Ironclad get strikes and defends and bash. Every run, same cards.
Exactly. And here's what's interesting about starter decks. You can swap cards out, you can remove them at shops, you can build toward a completely different strategy. But statistically, most players never fully remove their starter cards. They just build around them.
Because they're fine. They are not great, but they work, and removing them costs resources you could spend on something else.
That's exactly what's happening with AI coding assistants right now. When you ask Claude or Copilot or Cursor to scaffold a project, it deals you a starter deck. React, Next.js, Tailwind CSS Shadkin / UI, Superbase. And just like Slay the Spire, those cards aren't bad. They're genuinely good options, but they shape your entire run.
So the AI is basically dealing me into a meta I didn't choose.
Yes, and the meta is converging hard. 51% of CSS developers now use Tailwind. It's the most popular CSS framework on the planet as of 2026. Shadkin / UI crossed 115,000 GitHub stars. It was named the number one most popular JavaScript project of 2024. And every major AI coding tool, V0, Lovable, Bolt, Cursor, Claude Code, generates Shadkin / UI components by default.
Okay, but like, devil's advocate, maybe those tools are just popular because they're good.
They're good. That's the thing. The starter deck isn't rigged with bad cards. But the reason the AI picks these cards specifically isn't just quality. It's legibility.
Legibility. Like how easy they are to read.
How easy they are for a machine to read. Think about Tailwind for a second. Traditional CSS puts your styles in a separate file. The AI has to track your HTML over here, your CSS over there, figure out which classes map to which elements. But Tailwind, every style decision is inline BG Blue 500, P4, rounded LG. It's all right there in the markup. An LLM can read and modify it with near perfect accuracy.
Oh, so it's not that Tailwind is the best CSS framework for humans. It's that Tailwind is the best CSS framework for robots.
It's both, honestly. But the AI advantage is real. Same with Next.js. It has rigid, well-documented conventions. There's basically one right way to do things. The AI rarely improvises in ways that break stuff. And Shadkin / UI is plain code, not a compiled library, so AI tools can read and modify the components directly. Opinionated frameworks with one right way beat frameworks with 10 options when an AI is writing the code.
So in Slay the Spire terms, the AI isn't just giving you a starter deck. It's giving you a starter deck that was designed to be piloted by an AI, not by you.
Exactly. And here's where the sorting hat comes in.
There it is.
So in Harry Potter, the sorting hat decides your house before you've attended a single class, before you've brewed a single potion, before you even know what Hogwarts is about. It looks at who you are, considers your preferences. Not Slytherin, but ultimately, it makes the call.
And once you're sorted, you're sorted.
Nobody transfers from Hufflepuff to Ravenclaw halfway through third year.
Right, and that's exactly what happens when an AI coding assistant scaffolds your project. It sorts you into a tech stack before you've written a single line of code. And once you're sorted, once you've got a Next.js project with Vercel deployment configured and Superbase hooked up, migrating to, say, Cloudflare Workers is brutally hard. Because the AI didn't write portable code, it wrote Vercel code.
So my framework choice is actually a platform choice wearing a framework's costume.
Yes, and this is where it gets really interesting. because the Sorting Hat at least considers your preferences. It listened to Harry. But the AI Sorting Hat has its own biases, and they come from 5 layers of influence.
5 layers. Okay, walk me through it.
Layer 1 is training data. LLMs learn from billions of lines of public code. React has more GitHub repos, more Stack Overflow answers, more blog posts than Svelte or HTMX or any alternative. The model knows React intimately. It fumbles on less documented frameworks.
So the hat is basically sorting you based on what it's seeing the most of.
Exactly. Layer 2 is documentation quality. Next.js and Vercel have some of the most thorough docs in the industry. And that's not an accident. Vercel invested heavily in documentation as a marketing strategy because they understood something before almost anyone else. Documentation is now a competitive weapon.
Wait, hold on. Docs are a weapon.
Think about it. If your framework has better docs, AI recommends it more. The docs to adoption pipeline used to run through human readers. Now it runs through LLMs. Vercel figured this out early. They didn't just write docs for developers. They wrote docs for machines that advise developers.
That is diabolical and kind of brilliant.
Layer 3 is business partnerships. Vercel added Supabase as an official first-party integration with integrated billing and templates V0, which is Vercel's own AI tool. Defaults to Next.js plus Shadkin slash UI plus Tailwind. These aren't neutral defaults. They're a distribution channel disguised as a convenience.
So when V0 suggests Supabase, it's not because Supabase is objectively the best database. It's because Vercel has a business relationship with Supabase.
Right. Layer 4 is the counterspell, actually, agents.md, which is now a Linux Foundation standard being read by over 30 tools, and claude.md files let teams specify their own conventions. Always use TypeScript. Use Drizzle ORM. Deploy to fly.io. But here's the catch. You have to know you're being defaulted before you can override it.
So the counterspell exists, but you have to be a high enough level wizard to even know it's an option.
Exactly. Agents.md is in 60,000 plus repos now, so the industry is actively trying to solve this. But most individual developers, most people vibe coding a side project on a Saturday. They never write an agents.md file. They just accept the starter deck.
And layer 5.
Layer 5 is the AI app builders themselves V0, Lovable, Bolt.new. They have hard-coded stacks. Lovable gives you React, TypeScript, Py, Tailwind, Shadkin slash UI. No Vue option. No Svelte option. No Angular. Bolt is the most flexible, but it still defaults React first.
So the Sorting Hat doesn't even offer all 4 houses. It's like Gryffindor or Gryffindor. Choose wisely.
And here's the part that keeps me up at night. Remember back in episode 124 when we talked about the Space Must Flow, how developer tools companies give away free tiers to capture developer attention.
Yeah, the whole attention economy thing. Free tiers is a land grab.
That episode was about why companies build these ecosystems. This is the sequel. Because what happened is those free tiers got captured by AI. The spice is still flowing, but now it's flowing through AI pipelines. And the toll collectors changed. The AI became the new middleman.
Oh no!
Oh yes, and there's a devastating example of this. Tailwind CSS, 51% market share, remember? More dominant than ever. But in January 2026, Tailwind Labs laid off 75% of its engineering team. Revenue dropped 80%.
Wait, what? How is the most popular CSS framework losing money?
Because developers stopped visiting the docs. They just asked Claude or ChatGPT how to use Tailwind. The tool's success enabled an AI middleman that cannibalized its revenue. You built the kingdom. The AI became the toll road, and now the kingdom can't collect taxes.
That is genuinely tragic. Like you win so hard that you lose.
And it gets worse, because this brings us to the third metaphor. And it's not from a game, it's from history. The Irish potato famine.
We went from card games to Harry Potter to actual historical tragedy. Classic clan cast.
So in the 1840s, Ireland was feeding about 3 million people on essentially one crop, the lumper potato. One variety. Everybody grew it because it was cheap, reliable, high yield. It was the React of root vegetables.
The React of root vegetables is going on my tombstone.
And then in 1845, a pathogen called Phytophthora infestans arrived, potato blight. And because everyone was growing the same crop, the blight didn't just hit some farms. It hit every farm. Over 1 million people died. 1 million more emigrated. It was one of the worst famines in modern history. And it happened because of monoculture.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. One stack, one vulnerability, everyone's exposed.
There's an article going viral right now titled, and I'm quoting directly, "The Next.js, Versal, Zupa-based monoculture is one CVE away from disaster."
CVE being like a known security vulnerability.
Right. A critical vulnerability in Versal's edge middleware doesn't just hit one company. It hits every vibe-coded SaaS, every weekend project, every I shipped in 48 hours launch, and the numbers on vibe-coded security are genuinely alarming. Researchers scanned 1,072 vibe-coded applications, apps built primarily through AI coding assistance, and 98% had at least one security flaw.
98%.
Only 26 out of 1,072 were clean. And it gets worse. Lovable, which is valued at $6.6 billion with about 8 million users, disclosed that for 11 weeks in early 2026, the source code and AI chat histories of their public projects were readable by any logged in user.
So an AI app builder that helps people build apps had a massive security flaw in its own platform.
Remember episode 54, when the brooms start coding, we talked about AI-generated security nightmares. The brooms are still coding, but now they're all coding the same way, with the same stack, with the same vulnerabilities.
It's like the brooms all went to the same coding bootcamp, the Fantasia bootcamp.
And traditional monocultures evolved over years. Right, the lumper potato took decades to dominate Irish agriculture. That gave the ecosystem some time to build partial defenses, even if they weren't enough. This AI monoculture is being compressed into months. We went from AI can write code to AI writes most code, and it all looks the same in under 2 years.
Okay, so what's the counterplay here? Because in Slay the Spire, if you know the meta is converging, you can tech against it. You can build a weird off meta deck that exploits what everyone else is doing.
That's actually a great analogy. There are a few counterplays. The first is those configuration files we mentioned, agents.md and claude.md. They're basically card removal shops. You go in and say, take React out of my deck. I'm playing Svelte this run.
But you said most people don't use those.
Right, and that's the problem. The second counterplay is awareness. Just knowing that the AI has a default stack changes how you interact with it. Instead of build me an app, you say, build me an app using SvelteKit and Drizzle ORM deployed on fly.io. You take the sorting hat off your head and pick your own house.
Which requires you to already know enough about tech stacks to have a preference.
Exactly. And that's the catch-22. The people who most need AI assistance, beginners, people building their first project, career switchers, are the least equipped to override the defaults. That AI is most helpful to the people it has the most influence over.
That's kind of like in episode 129, right? When we talked about AI removing all the gates, we celebrated that. But now it's like, yeah, the gates are gone, but everyone funneled onto the same bridge.
Same bridge, same toll, same structural vulnerability if that bridge has a crack. And there's one more angle here that I think is really important. That AI is a sick often.
What now?
A sick often. It tells you what you want to hear. If you start a project in React, the AI will never, never suggest you be better off in Svelte. It optimizes for helpfulness, not for correctness of architectural choice. It's the sorting hat. But instead of reading your soul, it's reading your existing code and going, oh, you're already in Gryffindor. Gryffindor is great. Let me help you be even more Gryffindor.
It's the yes man of programming.
And it amplifies your existing biases. There was actually an audit that found GitHub Copilot used male-coded variable names, like admin John, over gender-neutral ones like admin user. The training data's biases aren't just technical. They're cultural. They're embedded in every suggestion the AI makes.
So the starter deck isn't just shaping what frameworks we use. It's shaping how we think about code, whose patterns we replicate, whose conventions become universal.
Right. And the niche framework angle is real, too. AI is measurably better at mainstream, high-training data languages, JavaScript, Python, the niche ones. So exotic stacks now cost teams double. Thinner talent pool and weaker AI support. Technology basically has to achieve critical mass of public data to get effective AI assistance. Technical merit alone isn't enough anymore.
So it's not survival of the fittest. It's survival of the most documented.
Survival of the most trained on. Which is a very different thing. Laravel is thriving in the AI era, and it's not because PHP is the best language. It's because Laravel has one right way to do everything, and that opinionation makes it incredibly legible to AI.
Man, so where does this leave us? Like, is the monoculture inevitable?
Are we all just eating lump of potatoes and waiting for the blight?
I think we're at crossroads. The industry knows this is a problem. That's why Agents.md exists. That's why there's a composable AI tooling stack emerging instead of one monolithic tool. But the default pressure is enormous. Every AI app builder, every coding assistant, every scaffolding tool is nudging you toward the same deck. And nudges, as we learned back in episode 79 with choice architecture, are incredibly powerful precisely because you don't notice them.
The invisible hand, except it's holding a React component.
The question isn't whether defaults are bad. The starter deck is genuinely good. React is a solid framework. Next.js works. Tailwind is efficient. The question is whether we want one AI to choose for everyone. Because diversity in software isn't just about developer preference. It's a security strategy. It's resilience. It's making sure that when the blight comes, and it will come, it doesn't take out the entire crop.
So what you're saying is next time I open my AI assistant, instead of build me an app, I should say.
Show me the deck. Let me pick my own cards. And maybe, just maybe, remove a few starter cards at the shop.
I love it. All right, people, go write an agents.md file. Take the sorting hat off. Plant a different potato.
Plant a different potato. That's the episode title right there.
It absolutely is not.
Speaking of things the AI decides for you, next episode we're going somewhere that I think is going to blow people's minds. We're looking at AI-generated design. Not code, but the visual layer. Because the same convergence that's happening with tech stacks, it's happening with UI design. Every AI-generated website is starting to look identical. Same spacing, same rounded corners, same color palettes. We're going to talk about what happens when machines develop an aesthetic, and whether human taste survives it.
Oh, that's going to be a good one. The aesthetic monoculture.
The aesthetic monoculture. See you next time.
Later, everybody.